Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Father, thank you for tonight. It's only by grace that we stand. Speak to us. Help us. Help us to help ourselves as we continue to serve you. Thank you for your presence and your power here tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. You may be seated, please. Ruth chapter 1, talking about commitment. Tonight, commitment. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your. Why would you not go back? You see, people don't even understand why they shouldn't go back. Because the idea is that back there is not a good place. Are you following what I'm saying? Back there is not a good place. And so when you hear songs and things like that, it is actually trying to encourage you that, you know, if you are in agreement with the author of the song, then you know that where we used to be was a bad place. I don't know how many of you like where you used to be. That's why when Chris Thomas and Shaquille, when they graduated from Bible school, they said they won't come back. Said, nah, not Guyana. Yeah. So when I see them in Ghana, I said, yes, there are lions at the airport. When you come, they will bite you. They're so afraid. Yeah? Because going back, you should be afraid to go back. The second one, an obligation that restricts freedom of action. Do you understand? Because some people don't understand English. You know, that's one of the difficult things in life, communication. To communicate effectively, to be able to preach so that people understand. Yeah, that as you live here tonight, you understand what God was trying to tell you through me. Do you get it? The definition is the third week or so. An obligation. Obligation is something that you are forced to do. It's like you're a wife, and when you vex, you don't cook. You are not serious. When you vex, you got to cook because it's a commitment. It's an obligation that restricts your freedom. Your wife, you say, I vex, so you are not sleeping in the bed. You don't touch me. No, you're not serious. You're not committed. Commitment actually gives you less freedom. Yeah, less freedom. Let me show you a scripture. I'm preaching, cry. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 18. Pinky, it's good to see you. I wonder why it's not raining. Forecast is showers, thunderstorms.
It's a hot. You need them fancy Chinese thing that's blow. Let papi bow down for you.
Now, give me New Living Translation. I'm just this introduction, right? You take off just now. Yeah. You know, you should be engaged. Because how long have you been coming to church? You've come to church for years. Why should I even finish the service in an hour, not 4 hours' time? Are you not used to these things? Didn't you come here to hear and to be spoken to? I mean, why should I not engage you? Why should you come here and expect that, you know what I mean? You with all your big teeth you have in your mouth, you can't chew meat. Yeah. Everybody here has been here for years. Hey, I'm actually polishing old coins. The coin is already polished, and I'm still polishing it every day. It's not like there's some new people who I'm trying to raise, and it's just some old people here. And that's how people get funny. Monsters, number four. I tell you the truth. Are you listening? When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. Please try and look for the commitment definition in this verse. That's why I took you here. You're looking for it, right? Try and find it. Jesus told Peter that when he was young, he was able to do as he liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. It means that when you are younger, or when you are young, you don't have commitments. Yeah. You don't have commitments. Now, he said, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. That's commitment. You don't want to be here for 4 hours. You have to be held here for 4 hours. Commitment comes. This is where commitment comes. There's less freedom of movement or action. Are you with me? Yeah, small trouble, then you take your ring and you shy it. You're a mad woman. Small thing, you pack your bags and you're out. You see, it's children who just move about as they like. Mature people, they are taking what they don't like. That shows that you are matured. You drink medicine that you wouldn't otherwise have drunk. But you know that this medicine is good for your lungs. That's why you are drinking it. It's maturity. Commitment restricts your freedom of movement. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching about commitment tonight. Commitment dash. Don't look back. And I'm saying that you should be afraid to go back into the world. You should be afraid to leave the church. You should be afraid to leave serving God. But you see, it will happen to you if you are not very serious and careful. That's what I'm preaching about. What I'm preaching about. Because you think that it is very far, that you're leaving the church and you're going away is very far. No, already you have started talking about it. And I don't know who I was listening to who said that. So I don't know whether it's Oyedepo or Oyedepo said that. He said, the Nigerian man. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says it is the abundance. It's not even everything. It's just the one that is over. That's what you are hearing. It's the extra that you are hearing. But the real thing is inside. This is just tidbits. It's overflowing. It's, when the bucket is full, but there's in the bucket is a lot of water. I heard from Bishop Oyedepo. So right there. So commitment, let's go back to our definition. Commitment restricts your movement. So that when I tell Alexis he should bring a bus, I'll never forget about that story. I'll never forget about it. Yeah. A big man like me, I asked her to do something. She said no. Big man like me. You, when you are committed, you do things that it restricts your. You see, because when you are matured, you see that when you are committed, you see that, you know what? I have to do this. I must do this. I don't have a choice. Bishop says I should help him. I don't have a choice. It is childish Christians, people who are not committed, who have freedom to be misbehave and do other things. This is from the dictionary. An obligation. Bringing bus that you do, you don't have actually anything to say. That's commitment. Commitment is good for you. I'm telling you, commitment will help you every area of your life. Commitment will help you at your workplace. Commitment will help you in marriage. Yes. That you can take nonsense without packing your bags out. It's commitment.
Maybe I should talk to another group or something. I don't know.
When you can't take nonsense, it means you are not committed. This is actually true of us. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Committed people is not because committed people, they take nonsense. I'm committed to this church, that's why I take nonsense.
Yeah.
It's my commitment. That's what doesn't make me. If I wasn't committed, I'll pack my bags and gone a long time. It's my commitment that keeps me here in the midst of all the treachery and the traitors and all the fantastic thing that goes on. Yeah. It's commitment. It restricts your freedom of action. Are you learning something? Yeah. Sati, is it not commitment that's why you are still with Ravi? If it wasn't commitment, you'd have left Ravi long time ago. I know that. You don't have to tell me. Yeah. Ravi will be on the roadside. He will be homeless. Yeah, but commitment tells her to be with him with all his encumbrances. Yeah. So when you're a woman or a man and you can't take certain things, it means that you are not committed. It's commitment that restricts your freedom of action. I can't travel. I mean, sisters are like this, we talk and all about her children wanted to come to America. Commitment that restricts you. I said, where are you going? You're too big for America. You can't go nowhere. Commitment, because you have to work here. They want to make you to become a nanny. Then, mommy, goodbye. Mommy, see you later. You're a house girl in the house, and they go and they come in. Commitment makes you refuse certain things. Your freedom is restricted because of commitment. Yeah. Don't you think that many of us, we could choose to do something else than come here tonight? Or even be in this church? Let me tell you. Do you think you are the only one who's thinking of going away somewhere? Commitment keeps you here without a lot of, you know, talking. You say, nevertheless, I am here. That's commitment. You don't look back. And when you are a committed person, like I'm saying, it affects every area of your life. If you are faithful, it affects every area of your life. It becomes a character. Your character is very important. Your character is what will show. But it's a character. It's a character flaw when a man of God is disrespected by you. It's a character flaw. It's a character, because the Bible says wisdom is the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear a man of God means that you are smart, you are wise. Because you know what could happen to you. I'm not preaching to church, I'm preaching to people who come here for years. That's what I'm talking like that. If people came here first time as new converts, I don't preach like this. I preach a nice message. Yeah. But you've been here too long, so I have to talk to you this way.
Yeah, since you don't want to bring a bus, you are not committed. You are not a committed member. You are not committed. Yeah, you are not committed. You're too free in the church. You're too free. You choose as and when. It's not right. You're not committed. That's what exposes your commitment. Your lack of decide. Okay. No, you are not committed. That's why. If you're committed, you are restricted. I'm just explaining the definition. Me read scripture yet. Hallelujah. Please, oh? Yeah. You go through all the things. You are not a fool. You are a very committed person. That's who you are. There's nothing like that. Don't let the devil and people make you feel less valuable. You are actually one of the best people around. Yes, you are one of the few. You are very, God sees you as a very great person. That because of him, your movement is restricted, and gladly so. Not that you say it, man. If only you know, I would have. No, when you say that, you've already gone. You've already left. Your spirit has left. Are you with me? Because you should watch it. Because many of us, we react emotionally against commitment. We claim to be committed, but our freedom is not restricted. Jesus, do you think Jesus couldn't have jumped from the cross? His freedom was restricted because he was committed to die for the world. That's why he told Pilate, you like talk. I am here because you have been given the power to have over me. If it wasn't like that, That's commitment. You are restricted. You are restricted. When you are free, Jesus said, when you are young, that's how you behave. When you grow to understand commitment, you just don't do. You just don't leave a job. You just don't check out of a job. You just don't check out of a house. You just don't check out of the church. You just don't check out of covenants and commitments. You just don't. You are restricted. And it's not that you are restricted against your will. Your acceptance, your understanding of the situation, that's what exposes or manifests in your commitment. Yes, you are matured to understand that this thing is not even how it is. So I am actually thinking about me. I want to be on the good side. That's why I'll continue my journey and not be affected by this thing here. So I understand my journey. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So when you see people leave and leave and leave, they are not committed. If everybody was going to leave, there would not be anything here. May you be somebody who would never leave. Yeah, never leave. Never leave. So commitment, don't look back. Verse 12 of Ruth chapter 1. And I hope you are taking the message in good faith. When you have a demon, you see, God has to talk to you. I have to speak to you. But when you have a demon, you take it wrong. You say, yeah, I'm preaching about you. What's that? This morning when I woke up, I said, ah, Akima, yeah, tonight she'll be, I'll preach about her. Who does that? Are you so important? Do you think you're so important?
Sometimes I get a message, even though I'm preaching from mega church, I have actually almost like diversed or digressed a bit. And I'm just listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. And he just drops the thing like this. And then I come, I don't even have any notes. I'm preaching from my heart and my mind as he speaks to me. So I don't prepare sermon. As I see that, I write the notes and say, I'll talk about Calvin and Aquila tonight. It's okay. Window, Calvin and Aquila situation. Like that. No. It's not like that at all. It's not in the plan. So receive it in faith. Do you get it? Say, oh, you know what? Bishop, preach. Bishop, we are talking to me. If when I'm talking about you, you should even stand up and say, Bishop, it's me. God, Bishop, talk. Bishop, my God. How did you know it was me? Bishop, please. I want to give an offering at this time. That's why the bats are here. Be open, acknowledge, and be repent. Yes. Repent and be somebody that the wisdom that's from above is easy to be entreated. When your wisdom is godly wisdom, you don't struggle with you. Dai Dai, you're welcome. Beautiful. Where are we? Ruth, isn't it? Okay. Do you know where Ruth is at? If you were holding a black and white Bible, I'm sure you wouldn't find Ruth at all. Now you have your phone, have your tablet, so you go look for it. All right. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope. Never lose hope, okay? You never lose hope in life. You never lose hope in having a husband. The right man will find you. I said the right man will find you. You see, in the absence of a husband, you must not feel free. You must be restricted. You see, if you give your life to Christ, you have to allow God to do things with you. Don't vex. Don't give God rudeness. Yeah. Because sometimes, let's say, for example, if let's say you are 45 and you are still not married, you get it? Maybe if you had married earlier, you'd have gone through a painful divorce that would have changed your life forever. You don't know everything. So he saves you and he spares you. Then you are saying that my marriage is just taking long. Pa. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Saving you from becoming a murderer. Maybe you would have killed somebody. Yeah. Now, if you're a guy and you come for responsible and ready conference, if you come, I will teach you how to. I'll give you tidbits. Make sure you register for responsible and ready. And then don't forget to also watch out for the date of what? Stay in your lane. A Christian woman series, part one. Oh yeah, it's coming in series. Okra, one episode and series, just like Netflix. Season 1, season 2, 4 episodes.
Oh yeah. You see, I'm full of the thing, so it's leaking. But I have to control myself. Yeah. No, we're patching the leak. Yeah. If I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons. Verse 13. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes. And the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Then he goes on, and they lifted up their voice and went again, and wept again, isn't it? Wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I don't want to talk about cleave. I'll leak, so I'll... No, you gotta register and come. Please register with Reverend Calvin. Yeah, he'll give you all the details. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Commitment, don't look back. You see clearly the commitment between Orpah and Ruth, the difference in the commitment. One, after being persuaded, left or looked back. Because look at it. You have married a guy. You've lived with a guy. There were no children. There's no record of children. And then you are with the family, the foreign family. You live with them. The woman says she's going back. It's like, you see the definition, the second definition of commitment here. It's like your freedom should be restricted in terms of going back. Where is Orpah going back to? I mean, for a few years, you have learned to cook eba. You eat eba. You eat fufu. You eat kenke. You eat all these things, jollof and everything. Now, you say you are going back. You don't eat cook up anymore. Even parboiled rice, you don't like it anymore. You like jasmine, perfume rice. It's about 18,000 or something, 10,000 or something like that. When parboiled rice is 1,500, you get a big sack. Yeah. Look at, where is Orpah going? And she seemed to be okay with it because she even kisses her mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, ex-child mother. That's another idiot I've met in my life. It disappeared into thin air. Just like that. When you are committed, you don't look back. Orpah tells us here that she was not committed. You see, I was telling a young lady, I said, you know what? All these excuses why you don't come around. If I was you, I'll find a way to come around. What are you doing that's so critical? Going to school? Really? When you finish the school, who's going to help you get a job? That habit, that lifestyle of putting things ahead of God as a Christian, it's an insult. It's like there's too much freedom in moving and acting and deciding when you say you are into something. It's something else. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, and then left. But the Bible says that Ruth, who knew what she was about, decided that as I have eaten fufu for 5 years, I am going to continue to eat fufu.
There's no point in going back now to discover my roots. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing to go back to. When you go back, it's a different life. And you know it. If you really live the Christian life, the people who know you, they don't see you at all. When you leave the church, then that's when they start seeing you. That's when you should know that you've gone off. You never had time for these people. All of a sudden now, you have time. You're aligning with them. Something has changed. Something has changed. Your commitment has been affected. You never had time for these people. They will even say, hey, this church, you and this church, you and this church. Now, you are sitting in your houses, you are liming. So, don't you see that you have looked back, you have gone back? Come back. Talking to them. Fellowshipping with them. Gaffing with them. But once upon a time, you didn't have time for them. That is what Orpah and her commitment to her husband and to Ruth, did they have time for her family? And it's so clear because Ruth now is telling you what she has been doing and what she's decided to continue to do. That's why there's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Well, I talked to my big brother who is discovering Ghana. And he says, you know what? We should come. Let's do business. I said, where did this guy resurrect from all these years? Business? In Ghana? Do you know who you are talking to? I can help you do your business. I want to be part of your business. Business? Goodness and mercy, it follows. So you don't go for it, they follow you.
Ah.
That's why people can be jealous of some people because they don't understand why they seem to have things working in their favor. Because goodness and mercy, you don't chase it. It rather chases you. David said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will dwell in that. He said, it's the shepherd that, because of the shepherd, that goodness and mercy follows him all the days of his life. You are going to chase goodness and mercy. Something is wrong. Are you going to do business? After how many years of serving the Lord? Has it not gone? If serving the Lord for 30-something years, it has not worked for me. Where else? Which company? Which place? 8 to 5? 9 to 10? Double job? Exxon? Mobil? Whatever. This. Who? Really? Who? What? How? There's no point in looking back. No, I tell you, I am so glad that when I came into this country, I was already full-time. I don't think I would have survived working in a Guyanese place at all. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. Jesus, he loves me. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I don't play it for me. Oh. I cannot imagine. If you are in there, Jesus, I'm telling you, working in Guyana, sending my CV application letter, going around for interview.
Now, as I was it yesterday? There.
I remember a Ghanaian song.
You know, if you've heard me say it, where I came from, the songs are not sex songs. The songs, they teach you about life, teach you about lessons in life, issues in life. Not, hey, wine, broke off your back. Wine. That's, Charlie, we are in a different world though.
Music is supposed to affect you, refresh you, make you, but the music rather is making you do evil things. Broke off your back. Broke off your back. That's not musical. It is demon. You are infusing demons. So whilst we were there at the place, I remember the Ghanaian guy who composed a song and he sang it. Do you know the title of the song? The title of the song says that everybody has their office. Because you see, when you go to people's corners and people's offices, the way they treat you, they forget that you too, maybe you're a taxi driver and one day they'll jump into your taxi. Maybe you too, you're a bus driver. Or maybe you too, you are in charge of some place that one day they will come before you. So that hope and that encouragement made him compose a song. He said, everybody has their office. So when somebody comes to your office, treat them well. Because before you realize, next week, you are at their office. What goes around comes out. The world is like that. It's a very small world. Isn't that a nice song? I'll look for it and play it for you. It'll be out in the office. Everybody has the area. I mean, if I come to somewhere, you treat me something. One day somebody invites you to my church. And when I see you, I'll preach for her. Yeah. I'll preach about you and say customs, GRA people, I'll preach for her. Don't I see you? Yeah. So Jesus says something in Luke chapter 6. I'm closing. Yeah, no. Don't worry. When I finish, you're praying for 5 hours when I finish. Don't worry. Papi, is it working? Now, a time is coming. You're going to do all night every day of the week. Have you done something like that before? So what? That is why I told you on Sunday that when I think about some of the things I have done, I can't see why in Jesus I can't do more than that. No. You wait. You very soon. Every night. You want us to see things? You want us to taste things? We deep only calleth unto deep. You think Sunday, Wednesday is what make people prosper around here? Did I tell you? We're here Friday to pray, a group of us. The devil was surprised. Yeah, the devil came to watch. And then this guy said, I hear he's called Hanuman also, Hanuman, the monkey god. He also came to watch. Because, you know, for a while, we have not had all night here. Yeah. So last night, I had all night too. Last night, I came here with some people, we prayed all night. Now it's an all-night season. You don't know when. When you get a message, you just have to follow. So come, let's go and drink coffee. we are wiring, so we can't talk with business. So because I don't even know who is getting my message. Last time we were here, we prayed, cry, all night. Then I met the people. I said, "Are you surprised that Tuesday we are here doing all night?" He said, yes. I said, oh, don't worry. You're surprised. That's how you can move forward. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday, everybody knows in the world that you will come here. Yeah. Get them right? your time is near. Yeah. At this stage, we should be able to do a lot of things. Yeah. Yeah. Luke chapter 9, 61. Let's go to what? Go up. 59, 58, 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Be careful. There are people who call me father and all of that, daddy, and I am very far a father from them. Be careful what you say. Even those of you call me bishop, I am not a bishop to you. Just a title. You think my name is Collins, my name is not bishop. So maybe you should call me Collins. Don't call me bishop, because the bishop you are using, am I a bishop to you? I'm not a bishop to many people. So it came to pass as they went on. Somebody came and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Do you think it's a very simple thing to say that? I'll follow you wherever you go. You're a liar. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll follow you wherever. Hey, this guy is somewhere. Then let's hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, are you sure? Me, I don't even have a place to sleep. The fact that, so Jesus said, foxes, they have holes. And birds of the air, they have nests. But me, the Son of Man, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. It's like when you say you want to follow me, you have not thought seriously about it. No, you don't have an idea. Because you say you follow me, I don't have a place to stay. In other words, Jesus knew that if he had said, oh, let's go, the guy would have, oh, really? I thought you had a place. You as you move around and doing all these miracles, I thought you have some five-star house that, oh, I'm disappointed. Bah. So Jesus had to tell the man straight up that, you want to follow me? I don't have anything to give you. Next verse. And he said unto another, follow me. This is the difference. The first one is that somebody said, I'll follow you. And he tells the person, I don't have a place to stay. Are you sure? Then now he turns around and he tells somebody, follow me. But the person who got the invitation is very fantastical. Some people want, they don't get. Some people get, they don't want. Somebody's meat is another man's poison. You never miss the water until what, the well runs dry. A bed in hand is better than what? Two in a bed out of the cage. These are all things that are real things. They are not in the Bible, that they are true. One person came and said, I want to follow you. Jesus said, I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus tells somebody, follow me. Then look at what the person says. He said, but he said, Lord, I beg you, let me go and bury my father. Darling, make sure that every privilege that comes your way, you accept it, you make use of it properly. Don't give excuses. You want to first go and bury your father? Okay, next verse. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And this has been my observation and my, I've made that statement over and over again. When you see any church in Guyana full, cars packed outside, people standing outside, it's a funeral. This is it. The church is a dead church. I pray that never happens to us here in our church. That when you see a lot of people in a church, it means that where they have, those dead people who have come to the church, they've come to a dead church. Let the dead bury the dead. We seem to be very fascinated about funerals. Yeah, big thing. The pastor will have time and all of that. If you come to a funeral in my church, you go back very annoying though. Jesus seemed to have no sympathy or any feelings or emotions towards dead bodies. People who are dead, they are gone. It's finished. We are the ones who want to highlight. You say, I didn't come to church because my mother is or something. How? And so these days, some people even do funerals on Sundays. I'll never come. Yeah, because the person is dead. They don't even see me if I come. Yeah. They don't even see me if I come. Jesus said, and this statement is very important, let the dead bury the dead. I remember many years ago, a pastor, Fred, he was sent by a prophet to Australia. I think he went to South Africa first. Something happened, and he went back to the country where he lives, somewhere in America, North America. Then, which one was first? Was it Australia? I think Australia was first. So he went on missions to Australia. Whilst he was in Australia, his mother passed away in Ghana. So, you know, black people. He spoke to prophet about the funeral and all. And prophet said, he shouldn't come for the funeral. It's hard, eh? Jesus said it. That's how the people killed Jesus. He said, he didn't care about your relative who's dead. Because the person is dead. So prophet told her, pastor, that, you know what, you shouldn't worry with a funeral. Because you just entered a country to go and do missions. Now something is trying to. It's like you have been invited into a group and a class of people who are preaching. Then now a dead body is bringing you out of that. And so the one who is ahead, who sees and knows and understands, you know, sometimes we forget the scriptures.
We don't even know.
So he told him that he shouldn't come for the funeral. The pastor didn't mind him. He went to Ghana for the funeral big time. When he went back to North America, he could not go back to his mission. Today, he wished he was a missionary. He went as far as sell his house. He finished paying for his house, mortgage house. He sold it. He said, prophet, I'm ready. Prophet said, well, I'm thinking about it. Because he had another chance to go to, I think it was South Africa. When he was in South Africa, his son was diagnosed with some sickness. And the doctor said the child need his parents' attention. So he used that. And he said, you know, doctor says, so I want to go. And then, you know, no. And when child gets better, I'll come back. So two times, I was with him and prophet at a camp in America. We entered a bookshop, and the prophet looked, saw him, and he asked him, hey, Charlie, how? Because later he was telling me his story. It's like, you? Two times? Missions two times. First one was your child. First one was your mother who is dead. Second one was your child who is not well. You have put the glory of becoming a missionary up below these human events. You are not fit. Up to today. He's just there. Excuse me. I'm sure if you know him and you speak to him, he'll tell you one of his greatest regrets is not obeying what his pastor told him. When we came to Trinidad, we stopped in Trinidad first. We were with Apostle Dodo. And when we left, because, you know, black people, we like to
like to punish the white people. Because we say they came to our country, they came to make us slaves. They came to thief we gold. So when I was fired, I applied for unemployment benefit. It was a 6 month period. It was within the 6 month period that I left Europe. But I taught my little brother to sign my signature. So that whenever they send in there, there's a form you fill every week to get your money. Calvin. And so when it comes, he will sign my signature. He posts it. The money will come into my account. So somewhere around the third month, then they send a letter that they want to see me. Wicked people. I should come for an appointment. So my brother, the letter went to his house. He opened it and he took a picture of it and he sent it to me. And I saw that it's an appointment. And I said, I have to go.
Because Charlie, it was about 1,500 or so or 2,000 euros every month. If I don't go, I know they will cancel the money. How can I allow them to cancel the money? Nice free money like that. It goes into my account and then I'll wire it from my account to my bank account here and I'll enjoy myself. I've been doing it for 3 months now, about the fourth month now. I just have 2 more months to go. Somebody got to be crazy. Somebody's trying to sit on my prosperity.
So I went to Apostle Dodo. Apostle, I want to go back to Holland.
He said, what? For what?
Suppose I have some money. If the people say they want to see me, if they don't see me, they'll cancel this thing. And at least the next 2 months, I suffer in Holland. I got to get this money. Apostle looked at me and said, you know what? Collins, I don't think you should go at all. You should take it out of your mind. I said, what? you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. 2 months or 3 months of 2,000 euros. Who is so stupid to let the white man take the money like that? And I'm entitled to it because I'm unemployed. I'm waiting till I collect all the 6 months and I'll tell them that I'm okay. I've left the country. I know which demon rose up in a white man. Apostle said, I don't think you should go. It's good you respect people, you know. I don't know. When you don't respect people, you are not even protected. Yeah. Because your respect for people will make you cautious, even if you don't understand. And it saves you. For people who don't have respect for anybody, nobody can tell you no and then you agree. Your life is in danger. Apostle told me not to go. And for my respect for him, I didn't agree. But for my respect for him, Charlie, I was remembering in my head. Pa. I didn't. Only God knows what could have happened. See, sometimes we have to believe and not get ourselves into things rather than not believe and get ourselves into it and then don't get yourself back out. Jesus told this guy, let the people who wants to bury the dead, let the people who like dead people, let them bury the dead. But you have gotten an opportunity to enter into the kingdom and preach. Just take advantage of the opportunity. You have been given a chance to come as a missionary to the Caribbean. Why do you want to go back to Holland for some 1,500 or 2,000 euros? It wasn't a simple decision for me. But I respected Apostle Dodo. I still respect him so much that I couldn't tell him, man, what are you there for, man? And that's what saved me. Do you have somebody you respect who can tell you something and you won't do it? You'll be surprised how God will use that person to save you. Because God knows that you respect that person. So he'll use that person to speak to you
and out of the respect that you have for the person, you will not do what you want to do, and then you'll be saved. So people who don't listen, who don't have nobody who advises them and listen or say, don't do it, you are in danger. Because God has nobody to use to step on your brakes for you to stop. Next verse. That's the verse we're looking at. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. That's another scenario. Now, what did Jesus say? And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Commitment should not allow you to look back. If you are committed, you are committed for life. Sometimes you may be committed for life, but in between the commitment, you misbehave. And that's what I addressed a while ago. Sometimes, because you have a long-term commitment, you think it gives you room to misbehave periodically, like you catch fits. You think that everybody's supposed to give problems, so you can give problems now and then. Commitment will not allow you to look back. Luke chapter 17. This verse, you should always remember it. Verse 32. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. First week in May is going to be our National Visitation Week. Yeah, first week in May. Yeah? And I want you to join. I want to visit everybody who has ever entered this church from the beginning of the year, at least. So we give you two people here and there, and you go visit national. So the whole week we are visiting people, 50 minutes. How are you? This. I'll give you some guidelines. But first week in May, make your visitation. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Remember, we never knew the name of this woman. The Bible is very fantastic. Women who are so, you know, your name is not even known in the Bible. It's Lot rather than we know. Can we Google it? What is the name of Lot's wife? Is it maybe God, somebody else know God's mind and then, what's the name of Lot's wife? Is there a name? Anybody who gives a name, they are lying. Yeah. Luke said that, remember Mrs. Lot. Is it? It's not in the Bible. I intentionally ask you to search, because sometimes people institute things that the Bible does not say. The Bible didn't say, and Lot's wife's name was Edith. She is not named in the Bible. If she was so powerful, she would have been named. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. We are not doing Jewish traditions, we are doing Bible. Remember Lot's wife. Why is the Bible teaching us to remember Lot's wife? Who is she an example of? She's an example of somebody who looked back. She wasn't committed to the plan that God introduced into her life. Casey, is it working? You need sleep. We are Christians, so share. You must be tired for the Lord. Because you're 9 to 5, nobody negotiates with you. You go cry. So after 5 now, there's also no negotiation about it. Remember the woman that Lot married, she is a good example of somebody who God was destroying the things that she was part of. And so by the grace of God, she was delivered from that world. And then, whilst they were leaving, they were instructed not to look back. They were instructed not to go back. They were instructed not to leave the church, not to go back into the old things they used to do. But the Bible says, Lot's wife, she looked back, and her life was never the same again. Jesus said that those who hold the plow and look back, they are not fit for the kingdom of God. Lot's wife looked back. You see, when you look back, you are telling God that he's a fool. You are telling the blood of Jesus that it is useless. And you cannot say that to God. You pay a price for that. How can you believe in God? Be born again, baptized, speak in tongues. And now you say you are nowhere in the church. You don't know, no longer go to church. You think it is okay? Jesus said, you are not fit. You are not fit. You are not fit. Lot's wife, she couldn't handle it. She couldn't handle the church life. She couldn't handle the new life. She was used to the old life and the things. Somebody said that one of the things that made Lot's wife turn back was she was thinking about her wigs and her shoes that she had left in Sodom. Her jewelry. Because remember, the angels came and then they dragged them out. And then as she was going, she said, oh, shoots. My just yesterday bought Brazilian hair. Oh, Jesus. I mean, isn't that amazing? The woman literally turned into a pillar of salt. That is how your life will be if you turn back. You see, don't worry about. But you see, if you look at someone like Keith Massey, the things he shares on Facebook, if you see them, they're only foolish things. He has dried up. So you see, some people think that, oh, when I leave the church, I'll be happy. When I leave the church, it's like suicide. When I die, the people will be sorry that I've died. Okay, you try. You die and let's see. You are the one who's going to hell for dying. Those of you who contemplate suicide, the devil tells you, kill yourself so that everything will finish. Everything will finish? No, everything doesn't finish when you die. It doesn't finish. When you leave the church, that's the beginning of sorrow and trouble. Think about it this way. When you leave the church, you are actually exposed to the side of the world that you used to fight against. So now they see you and they say, what? Is it you? All right, come, let's. You, some time ago, you go to church, your bishop says, let's bind the devil. You used to bind me. Okay, come here. Now it's my turn to also bind you. Licks. Oh, yeah. You praying all night? You following your bishop? I remember 2022. It was all night, praying, binding devils. Now you are here? Come here now. Are you aware of that? That's what happens when a Christian backslides and goes to hell. Oh, the demons, they make fun of you. They beat you, make fun of you. Ah! Shalabalabalabalabalabala! Yeah, they are happy that you have fallen and you have come to where they are also suffering. Yeah, they are excited with you. People don't understand what happens when you go back. You turn into a pillar of salt. You see, you dry up. That's useless. Like, you see, you'll be walking around, maybe you'll be even dressing up, or maybe even buy a car, or maybe get a nice girlfriend, or even get a visa or something and travel. But the spiritual part that we are talking about, people don't see it. You dry up like salt. So if you are committed, you don't look back. How many are not going to look back? JP, Are you going to look back? Okay. Stand to your feet, please. I hope you are blessed, though, the way you are clapping. I hope that is real. Amen. Father, we are so excited. Thank you for speaking to us. We are not the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.